This is the People of Relic and EKR podcast, a podcast that delves into the minds of the people who work at advertising agencies Relic and EKR. I'm your host, Annabelle Sutton. We've had a lot of fun so far on this podcast, getting to know Relic and EKR's employees in in-depth interview-style episodes. In this new style of episode, we've asked multiple employees the same question. What is your favorite book and why? Let's see what they have to say. First, we'll hear from Corey Osler.
What is your favorite book and why? Ooh, my favorite book is likely Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card. My dad read it to me when I was young, and I've recently read it to my children. And it's kind of a kid's book, but it's definitely not aimed at children per se, but kids get a lot from it. And for me, the reason I like it is it's kind of the story of a young person that normally is looked over in society, you know, because like, oh, you're a kid, you can't do anything. But this person happens to be so, you know, talented and smart that they basically have to save the world, but they don't know it. And so it's just kind of one of those, it's a coming of age story, if you will, but it's also a story of how to be resilient in hard times and how to, like, for me, it's kind of like, you know, business people use Sun Tzu's The Art of War in business. Like, for me, it's like kind of the equivalent of that. Like, how do you, you know, in a nice way, compete against your peers, but also how do you, like, make bonds that last forever and stuff like that? And it's all in there in that book, just like how to overcome hard things while, like, trying to win.
Next, we'll hear from Emily Christman.
So I have really fallen off the reading train, so I'm not a huge reader anymore, but I really should be. But one of my favorite books that I keep coming back to even now is The Life of Pi. You've probably seen the movie. It's an amazing movie. It's so gorgeous. But the book is such a great read as well. If you haven't read it, it's just really stunning to read the words that the author uses to just kind of describe, you know, the setting, which is mainly the ocean. Is just, it's so exciting to read. It's filled with symbolism and just, you get something new out of it every time you read, which is why I always keep coming back to it. It's just, it's great. I recommend it.
Now we'll hear from JP.
Currently, at this point in my life, my favorite book is The Once and Future King by T.H. White. I read this growing up, and I reread it again recently, and it really just, it hit different. You know, for those unfamiliar, it's kind of a spin on, or, you know, spin or retelling of the King Arthur myths. It's a book that has everything. It's laugh out loud funny at times, and it just breaks your heart at others. It's interesting because, okay, here we go. I'm getting into it. Merlin, of course, we're all familiar, but in this version, Merlin travels backwards in time. So he's always referring to future events, but then saying things like, oh, wait, that hasn't happened yet. And so it's an interesting way to view those, like, historical anachronisms through these traditional stories that have, you know, really built cultures. I mean, you know, King Arthur, it's seminal for so much and so many aspects of, you know, the English speaking world. And so it's just a fun examination of that. It's also written in a very lively and contemporary tone.
Next, we hear from Jacqueline Crane.
I might be cheating a little bit here, but the Six of Crows duology, so a two-book series, is actually one of my favorites of all time. It's by Leigh Bardugo, and I think she is just an amazing author in creating the Grishaverse, is what she calls it, this universe of powers, so to speak, or magic, however you'd like to put it, this fantasy universe of characters. I love the way that she balances world building and character building with the plot line. And the plot line of Six of Crows, here's a little setup for you, but essentially there's a group of people that get together against kind of normal circumstances because of their skill sets, and they pull together this giant heist. And I think it's a real good mystery, a real kind of action-packed story that really balances well with the description of, you know, each character, getting to know them really well and the world around them.
Now we'll hear from Marcy Wahlquist.
I would have to say it's probably between The Count of Monte Cristo and Born a Crime. The Count of Monte Cristo is just kind of a fun nostalgia thing for me. When I can't remember when the movie came out. I think I was in middle school. I watched it with my brother, and I fell in love with Henry Cavill, which he made fun of me at the time because he's pretty scrawny and stuff in there. But like now I'm like, look who's talking. Henry Cavill, Superman, whatever. Anyway, besides the point, so I was really obsessed with the movie. So when I was in high school, in my English class, we had to decide between two books to read, or if we were interested in any of this list of books and we got someone to read it with us, we could do like a report on those. One of those was The Count of Monte Cristo, and I got my friend to agree to read it with me, which it's over 1,000 pages. We had like, I don't even know, like a month to read it or something. And my teacher was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I've never been more sure in my life. So we read it in like 2 weeks and, you know, blew that book report out of the water. And it's such a different experience from the movie, but I still love them both separately. As for Born a Crime, I find the older I get, I still really like fantasy books and fiction and all that, but I've really enjoyed biographies. And Born a Crime, it's a biography by Trevor Noah about being half Swiss, growing up in Africa, and his experience with that. And I love the way he wrote it. I love, it's the right amount of humor with history and just learning about the things around him and stuff. So I really enjoyed that book, and I wouldn't mind reading another one by him.
Next, we'll hear from Adam Stoker.
My favorite book, and I've had several different favorite books over the course of my life, but the one that I feel like has really made an interesting impact on me, my guess is it's going to be kind of unexpected, but the Tiger Woods biography by Jeff Benedict is actually really fascinating to me because I feel like it does a good job of showing both sides of what it takes to be successful. And so what I mean by that is when Tiger Woods was an 18-month-old kid, his dad would make him sit in his high chair out in the garage while his dad hit golf balls into a net over and over and over again every day. And the consistency of how much of a priority golf had to be in his life definitely factored into his ability to become great. But the cost of that greatness was the fact that in the end, golf was the number one most important thing to him in his life. And even when it came to family, he would put golf first. And the level of importance of his family was not where, for most people, they feel like it should be. And so I think the give and take of that is yes, success is very, very important. And I feel like as far as a blueprint for success and the consistency required to become successful is really well outlined in that book. It's a fine line because if you walk that line a little too far and you go a little too far on the value of success, professional success, what it can result in is a sacrifice of the other major important things in your life. And so I've really tried since reading that book to examine, what am I prioritizing and am I letting go of things that should be priorities because I'm too focused on this? And one of the places where I've really tried to refocus is my personal physical health over the last couple of years. And I really feel like some of that comes from the sacrifices that I kind of witnessed as I was reading the book from Tiger Woods. I just thought it was a great microcosm of the role success should play in your life and making sure that your priorities are distributed correctly. And I feel like I learned a lot from that.
Now we'll hear from Maggie Curtis.
I'm not much of a reader. I need to get back into it. But, you know, there's always a million reasons to not read. So I'm not a huge reader. But I read this book in like honors English in high school. And it I still like think about it literally like every day, but it's The Great Gatsby. I feel like it explores the hopelessness of like societal constructs and a man's struggle with time and fate. And what do people say about it? They say like it's the most American of stories, and it's that the American dream is like unattainable. So I don't know. I love that. I also love the vibes, like the 20s, the clothes, everything. I love that book. So that's my favorite book.
Now we'll hear from Shaylee Taylor.
My favorite book is And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie. It's a murder mystery novel. It's so fun. In fact, I read another book by Agatha Christie recently. I read Murder on the Orient Express, and I love that book, but I was like, man, I just want to go back to And Then There Were None. It's kind of fun, and you can kind of tell by the title, but basically one by one people die on this island and you have to figure out who the murderer is, and it's just really exciting.
Next, we'll hear from Ryan Jones.
This is a very tough question. As somebody who reads and writes a lot for work, not necessarily a bookworm. I'm a little bit embarrassed to announce that kind of publicly. A lot of Twitter reading going on in my spare time, which is probably horrible for my mental health. But books, probably the most influential book, Go Dog Go. That is a fantastic book, right? Yeah, I'm a big hat guy, and so I always try to drop, do you like my hat? No, I do not like your hat. Nobody ever gets it. But that's a great book from the childhood. My second favorite book is my King Arthur Flour Cookbook, Love to Bake. And that is like an encyclopedia of baking. They'll give you like time and temperatures per altitude and like how to calculate things. All of the recipes there are like just they're honed in over hundreds of years of testing. And so that is definitely was a big one. I think I bought that in the pandemic during kind of the lockdown times where I just got super into baking. So love my King Arthur Flour Cookbook. That is like an all time. That one goes with me wherever I move. One of my favorite books that I've read more recently was Moneyball. I read that kind of towards the end of college, and it's just a really fascinating storytelling book. I love baseball, so kind of getting the peek behind the curtain, and you know, I have to admit I was inspired to read the book after watching the movie. I know it's not the way to do it, but that's probably my favorite book that I've read more recently. And I can confirm I have read books. I maybe read one book per year when I go to the beach. So I was trying to rack my brain, and I was like, those are probably like the three favorites that I have read the most often or had the most impact on me recently. So
finally, we'll hear from Callie Oram.
So I'm actually going to share two favorite books, because there's one that's my all-time favorite book and one that I just finished reading that I think everybody needs to read. So my first one that is my all-time favorite is called A Thousand Splendid Suns. That one's amazing. It, you know, shares kind of the story of these two different lives of abuse and, you know, these women conquering that. And they lived in a time of where men in this country had different wives and didn't treat their wives right. And it kind of is that story of really uplifting women to, you know, fight for themselves and stick up for what they believe in and how they want to have a better life for themselves and their children. And so it's a fiction story, but it is so, so good. And I encourage anyone to read that. I'm pretty sure it's on plenty of reading lists in college and high school. And I read it again in college for like the 10th time. But I think I first read it when I was in middle school. And it was one of those that really kind of makes you think about how other people live in the world and how they used to live in the world back in the day, and really kind of opens your eyes. So definitely a good one there. And my most recent book that I just finished is called I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy. And that book was so phenomenal. I think I picked it up a month ago and ended up finishing it in like 3 days. It was one of those books that you just cannot put down and you don't want to. But it talks about Jeanette McCurdy, who was a famous child star growing up. You know, iCarly is where people know her best. But she kind of talks about the struggles of, you know, the verbal and mental abuse from her mom growing up. And I mean, the title is funny. And so people always gave me looks when I was reading it. They're like, you're reading a book called I'm Glad My Mom Died. But, you know, once you read the end of it, you can kind of, I mean, the book is filled with humor and it's filled with, you know, stories that make you kind of look back on the shows that she was in and think, wow, like I never knew child stars could feel this way or that they had these things going on in their lives too. And so, I mean, I encourage anyone to read that book as well. It's just very eye-opening to see how the child star industry is and how, you know, we kind of see the lights and the fame and how exciting it could be. And we all wish we had that life, but sometimes people don't wish they had that life and they wish that they weren't forced into it and that, you know, a lot of negative comes from it too instead of all these positives. So that's definitely one that I would always recommend reading, and it was definitely my favorite book that I've read this year.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you liked hearing the various answers to these questions from our wonderful employees, and we'll catch you next week on another episode of the People of Relic and EKR.